So, I thought we'd play a game this morning, and you have a choice. Either can have a few volunteers to play at the front, which is my preference. Please come if you want to play, or everyone will have to do it, in which case you may not be quite so pleased about that. So if I'd like to have some volunteers to play, that'd be really good. Hello, well done. Thank you very much, volunteer. More, come. Yes. It's a really easy game, by the way. It's nothing too embarrassing, I promise. Don't just come, don't worry about that. We've got plenty of room, we've got the whole area, we can do some more, so don't worry. Just play on the front here. That's it. Well, you might need to spread out a little bit. You might need some space, so one or two might like to come down. That's the way. Right. So what I thought we'd do is play a game of Simon Says. It's quite simple. So Simon Says this, but instead of doing Simon Says, we're not going to do Simon Says, we'll do Keith Says, because I have an ego, as you can perhaps tell. So I thought we'd do Keith Says. So when Keith says to do something, you do it. If I just say something else, you don't. You just carry on doing what you're doing. We'll have a trial run, see how we get on. So if I said, if Keith says, jump up and down, jump up and down. And you just keep going until I tell you to stop. You can do what you need to do, yes. And then if I say stop, you carry on.
Oh yeah, of course I'm out.
You got the idea, yeah. We won't do the out thing for a while. This might take some time, or it might be over very quickly. Right, so Keith says stop. Run on the spot. Very good. Keith says sit on the floor. Very good. Keith says touch your nose. Ruffle your hair. Very good. Keith says stand up and take your finger off the nose. Yeah. Keith says close your eyes. And Keith says open them again. Stand on one leg. Nearly. Keith says stand on one leg. And then Keith says hop. Again, one of you might find it difficult. Don't worry, it's fine. You do what you need to do. We can adapt. Right. How we do it. Keith says stop. And Keith says stand up normally. Well done. Very good. Run on the spot. Keith says run on the spot. Now, you keep going. I'll start my talk now. It's fine. No, please. Keith says stop. And you can go and sit down again. And a big round of applause, please. Well done. So what?
You didn't
say
Keith says.
Yeah, Keith says. Yeah, you can. Well done. Yeah, you're right. And I'd forgotten that. So well done. Thank you very much. No, that's all good. They were absolutely right. Well, when the person in charge gets it wrong, then you know, what are you supposed to do? The thing about that game is that what we're trying to do is we're trying to do whatever the leader says or commands to do, aren't we? We're trying to put in practice what the leader wants. It was an imperfect thing because that's not a perfect thing because obviously the leader is also saying, no, don't do things, but we won't worry about that. But in the game, what the leader says to do is not necessarily a good thing, is it? You know, if the leader says stop or put your finger on your nose or wherever it might be, that's actually not a right thing to do. Actually, Keith says do this. So everything we hear isn't necessarily right. We're doing it to simply win the game in this case. But, there's not much choice there. But Psalm 1... the psalm that Mary read a few moments ago gives us a choice as the best way of living. It's quite clear in the psalm, if you remember. Really, really clear. So you have two choices in how to live. Now, the psalm was really important because it's the first psalm in the, you know, the 150 psalms. It's the first one. And when something's the first, you take notice of it because it's important. So what psalm 1 and actually psalm 2 together are both saying, are introducing the rest of the psalms. So the rest of the psalms almost rest on what psalm 1 and 2 together say together. And the first choice that we're given is this. It begins, the Lord says... And as we look at the first three verses of that psalm, it says, well, it gives us an idea of what that looks like, what this light is. And it talks about a man who is blessed, or blessed, depends on how you say it, it's blessed. He's a man who's loved by God, you know, has a close, loving relationship with him, like in a family or something like that. What does that man look like? What does he do? Well, first of all, we're told that he doesn't get anything wrong in his life at all. When he's tempted to go the wrong way or do the wrong thing, he resists, thinking there's a better way to live. And in fact, the psalmist is so keen to say how this blessed man lives, in a way that he lives in obedience to God, that he does it in three, he says it in three ways. Bang, bang, bang. He says this. He says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. He wants us to understand that there can't be any doubt at all. This man does not go the wrong way in life at all. But then second, and more positively, I guess, the psalmist also tells us that this man actively seeks to go God's way by being obedient to what it says in his word, the Bible. We read, his delight is the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. So this man doesn't simply read the Bible or listen to the Bible as a chore each day. This is a man who doesn't simply read the Bible with his family and tries to get over it as quickly as possible because the football's about to start. Now, this is a man who simply loves the Bible. He loves God's word. This is a man who savours every word. He dwells on it, allowing God to speak loudly into his life, saying, this is the way, walk in it. And not only that, this man meditates on it. Now, we have this idea, wrong idea, I think, of meditation, of simply emptying our minds of everything, and that's not right. Christian meditation is not that. No, it's filling it up with God's words. The picture of meditation is like someone who's chewing over God's word. So imagine eating a meal, having dinner later, and eating that dinner and enjoying it and letting it go into your stomach and all that sort of stuff. That's what it's like. That's what meditation is meant to be like with God's word. It's eating us, so it dwells deep within us and becomes an intrinsic part of us. Now, I could push that picture further, but that's basically what's going on. You're chewing it over, savouring every word, every comma, everything else. And what's the result? Well, we've got this picture, haven't we, in verse 3. We've got this picture of a tree planted by streams of water. This tree is evergreen, it's solid, and it's full of health. Now, last year, some of you might remember, last year, at the end of the very, very hot spell, we haven't really had a very, very hot spell this year. We've probably had about a day. But the apple tree in our garden simply decided that enough was enough, and it died. Quite dramatically. It literally went like that. Now, there might be other things going on as well, but if our tree had been by a stream, then it would have been remained healthy and continued to produce apples year after year. Our tree probably would have continued to prosper. And a man who chews over God's word will also prosper in his life. Now, I'm using the man deliberately for a reason in a moment. He will be refreshed daily. He will continue to walk with the Lord, and he will continue to witness to God's good and better way. And a second choice begins like this: not so the wicked. Verse 4. Immediately we give a sharp contrast between the blessed man and the alternative, the wicked man. And in contrast to the solid, healthy, fruitful tree, we're given this picture of image of chaff. Now, no adults. Does anyone know what chaff is?
No.
Can anyone tell what chaff is?
Is it to do with hay? It's the end of
the
hay.
What?
Is chaff the end of
the
hay?
Sort of.
It's
the rubbish, yes. It's the rubbish. So let me illustrate. So imagine, you know when you've got your bread and you have to have seed that you make into your flour. Well, the chaff is the outside bit of the grain. And I know that to be true because I looked it up on Wikipedia last night. It's on the outside bit. So, what they do is this. I need a volunteer. Another time. You're a great volunteer. Turn around. Now, this is really easy, I promise. So what they do is this. They take a basket. Hold the basket. Now, they get the grain. Now, I haven't got any grain. And I meant to bring rice with me this morning. I forgot that as well. So I'll have to have beads instead. And what they do is pour the beads, the seed, into the... That's about... I'll do. And I'll tell you what to do before you do it. Basically, what they do is they toss it in the air like that. So so it lands again. So nice and gently. Yeah, a bit more. That's the way. Don't worry if it goes on the floor. A bit more. Try again. Higher. That's the way. It's coming. A bit more. That's it. Should we give it another go? One, two. You stay there. There we go. I tell you, let's re-throw it up, shall we? I apologise if whoever's in the cleaning this week. Ready? One, two, three. That's it. Well done. Very good. Okay, sit down. Round of applause. So as they're throwing it in the air like that, the wind comes aloft, the breeze comes aloft, and gets all the chaff is the light stuff, blows the chaff away, and the proper seed that's useful lands back in the thing or on the floor in our case, but not too bad. And they do that, and you can see, and they actually throw it really high, and the wind takes it away. That's what the chaff is. Something that's almost useless, not quite useless, but we can't eat it, we don't want it, and it blows it away. That's the picture we have here in the Bible. It's not something that's solid, that's standing in the ground like a tree. It's something that's just going to blow away because it's useless. And that's what will happen to the wicked. That picture of the chaff being blown away. They will be found wanting when face God's judgment. Sinfulness will exclude them from the assembly of God's people. The psalmist is keen to tell us that we need to take the picture of the warning of God's judgment seriously. Because the picture of the chaff being blown away in the breeze will one day be seen for all to see, will be there to see for all to see. And that brings us to the end of the psalm, because we're given this choice at the end of the psalm. Let me read it to you. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, and the way of the wicked will perish, one way or another way. And the choice is simple, isn't it? The way of the righteous or the way of the wicked. One is watched over by the Lord, the other leads to destruction. And that's fine, isn't it? Because it's not much of a choice, really, is it? Let's face it. Let's be really honest about it. Of course we'd choose to follow the way of the righteous. Why would we want to go the other way? Of course you'd want to choose not to follow the way of the wicked. It's a bit of a no-brainer, really. It's not really much of a choice. Except there's a problem. And it's a really big problem at the heart of the psalm. None of us can truly follow the way of the righteous. We're not capable. And to think otherwise is to lie to ourselves. The reality is that left to our own devices, we'd follow the way of the wicked, I'm afraid. The chaff tossed up into the breeze, well, that's us, I'm afraid. The thing is that there's only one blessed man, and that's why I've stuck to the word man, has been able to sing Psalm 1 properly with complete integrity, and that's Jesus. He's the only one. He's the only one that's been fully obedient to God. He's the only one who's been tempted in every way and yet was out without sin. He's the only one who's been able to walk the way of the righteous. He is the evergreen tree who produces fruit at exactly the right time. This is the man who delights and is obedient to the law of the Lord. This is the blessed man. And the only way we can truly follow the way of the righteous is by trusting and following this blessed man, Jesus. Peter wrote this in one of his letters. To this end you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. We commit ourselves to walk on this way of blessing, following the Lord Jesus, because it would be unwise not to. It is a no-brainer, but not one that we can accomplish ourselves. However, if we choose not to go this way and go the other way, we show that we don't fully believe what the psalmist says. We say that he's lying. Instead, we think that true blessing is found walking in other paths. We're following the way of the wicked would be advantageous to us. And I'm afraid we would be very sadly mistaken. And the consequences for this are serious. So what does it mean then to follow, briefly, the way of the righteous, the way of Jesus? First, it means putting our wholehearted trust in our Lord and rescuer Jesus, not holding back in any way. Second, wonderfully, it means we are not having to work at this on our own. Rather, we have the Holy Spirit working away within us, gradually changing us so that we are obedient to God and able to resist temptation. And thirdly, it means that joyfully meditating on God's word so we know what his good ways look like and we can seek to walk in them. So as I finish, let's have every wonder for the King, our King, who's described in this psalm. Let us be thankful for every spiritual blessing that we have in him. And as a result of these things, have the spirit-filled desire to walk in our King's good and righteous way. Amen. So it's time to stand and sing again. And we're going to know that this is going to be the second Holiday Club song. We're going to learn, or some of you may know already, that's okay. So we have a listen again. We'll do the same thing again. We'll listen to it first, and then we'll stand and sing it. Okay? It's called "The Boss of the Cross," which I did debate whether it's a good title or not, really, but I think it's all right. Let's give this a go.
Again, it's the boss of the cross. Sing him, praise him, everyone will praise him. Mighty Jesus, boss of the cross. Na 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 na.